Lizzie, and that was great. And we're talking about love, so love makes the world go round. We're going to watch a video or a slideshow first of all, and then I'm just going to talk briefly about love. So let's watch the slideshow, guys. Thank you very much. It should have music to it as well. Thanks, tech guys, that's brilliant. So we've heard this morning from Lizzie's reading about the act of love that a woman gave to Jesus by anointing him with that really strong perfume. They reckon that even when Jesus died, that perfume would have scented his body and they would have been able to kind of scent that from around the cross. So what or who is it that you love? Could it be a sports car, a speedboat, a fashion, sport? Music, exploring nature in all its beauty, or loving and adoring pets. It's at the centre of God's heart, and what motivates him in all his actions is love. Running as a thread throughout the Bible is a reminder that God loves and that we should too. John the Apostle put it, "This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, and we continue to hear it now. Love makes the world go round. All you need is love." Loads of songs about love and the encouragement to love others and to love yourself. One of the proofs that we are Christians is that we love our brothers and sisters. Jesus said, "The world will know that you are my disciples by your love." Reaching out to those who struggle within this church fellowship and outside of it. But in English, we're just limited by the fact that we only have one word for love in all its different forms. But the Greeks were so much cleverer because they had four different names for love that we saw on that slideshow. First, philia, which is defined as love for friends. We love and we are loved. Secondly, storge, which describes the love of a parent for their child. We've seen that this morning in Emily's dedication. So much love, so many people that have come, particularly for Emily today. Thirdly, eros, which is the love based on physical attraction and desire. And fourthly, God's love is agape, completely self-giving without any need to have it returned. And so we're called to emulate that love, which gives without expectation of it being returned. Who do we model our lives lived in love on? On God, as revealed through the life of Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. So we know, don't we, our lives can be caught up in self-concerns, in obsession for security, our need to be well-liked by others, our ambition to experience greatness in what we do. But just turn these on their head. We may moan that we do not experience God's presence, but look at your life. Where are you founding your bedrock? On a career, on sports, on outside activities, on a loving spouse, on a family? All these things are good, but they can flounder. The one sure hope is Christ. Build your rock on him, and you won't be disappointed or swept away. But what does the Bible mean by the word love? Well, principally, the Bible sees love as a doing word. We are told that God so loved the world that he sent. So he didn't just say, "I love everybody in the world." He actually sent his son to save the world. Love by itself is nothing. Fine words are ineffective unless bolstered by actions. We have many stories of people in the Bible who loved in the wrong way. Samson loved his broken nation, but he also loved foreign women, and they proved his downfall. Solomon, with all his wisdom, fell the same way. One of the great things about studying the Gospels is the way they demonstrate the spiritual journey of Jesus' disciples. Sometimes they come across as ambitious and self-seeking, eager to promote themselves above others, trusting in their own strength. Peter, the strong leader, denying Jesus while his master was being tried and tortured and sentenced to death. And then later, when Jesus is raised from the dead, a broken Peter encounters the risen Jesus, who says to him, asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" How would you respond? When things happen and your trust in the ways of God falters, remind yourself, who is it that you love? There's times when we're all, myself included, are confused by the ways of God or struggle with accepting him. But deep down inside, we love Jesus, and our heart cries out along with Job, "Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him." So build your foundation, but ensure that it's built on God. Recently, I've met with quite a few people, and they've talked about church, and they've said, yeah, it's all about being a very strong community, fellow humans, and that's what really blesses us when we come to church. And I agree completely, but also we must remember that we are one. We are united because of Christ's love and our worship of God as we meet. This strengthens our bonds and enables us to give sacrificially, supernaturally, way beyond what those without God can give. just as the Apostle John spent his precious letter-writing time doing, he spent his time urging his readers to love, love, love. Read the letters of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Won't take you longer than about half an hour, will it, Steve, to read those three letters. So I urge you to love God and each other. Yes, we all have faults. Yes, we can be picked on by our faults, but we can all make each other go crazy at times. But make it your commitment to love. Love God, love yourself, love others, love anyone you may come across in your daily lives. Amen.